The road to the White House runs through Michigan today. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. It's a toss-up state, so there will be Harris and Trump campaign events there. After the former president went on TV this morning telling Fox and Friends if he's elected again,
we're going to have a strong border. We're going to have the greatest economy. We're going to bring back the economy. We're not going to have inflation.
As for Vice President Harris calling him dangerous and unstable, warning of a second Trump term, the former president calls Democrats the threat to democracy.
This group will cause us World War III. They have no idea what they're doing. And, you know, I hate to talk that way, but we can't let this woman get in.
There will be Trump events in Oakland County and Detroit. As for his rival, Fox's Rich Edson's in Michigan.
Vice President Kamala Harris is going to see a lot of this state today. She's campaigning across it, Grand Rapids, Lansing, and then later on here in the Detroit suburbs. Michigan, these upper Midwest states, they were reliably Democratic in presidential elections for a quarter century. That changed in 2016 when Trump won them. Now, Harris is here trying to shore up support among union members and Arab and Black voters, constituencies that have overwhelmingly voted for Democrats. Polling shows that's eroded perhaps to the point where it makes a difference in this race.
President Biden is in Germany for talks with our NATO ally on further helping Ukraine battle Russia. Now, its President Vladimir Putin just said that NATO is fighting his country using Ukrainian soldiers. And Putin again said Russia will win, though he is open to talks with Ukraine under certain conditions. President Biden also commented today on the war in Gaza.
The death of the leader of Hamas represents a moment of justice.
Yahya Sinwar was a mastermind of the October 7th terror attacks that triggered the war.
Sinwar's death sparking cheers here in Israel from balconies to the streets, and also renewed hope, but mixed with concern for the remaining 101 hostages in Gaza.
Fox's Matt Finn in Tel Aviv, a Hamas official said today there will be no ceasefire or any hostages released until Israel withdraws from Gaza. America's listening to Fox News.
You know, the big wireless companies want you to overpay for data that you don't need, but you don't have to settle for that with Pure Talk. Well, you get to choose how much data that you actually want. And for $25 a month, you'll get unlimited talk, unlimited text. You're going to get mobile hotspot, 5 gigs of data. Go with Pure Talk, and you get to choose how much data you actually want. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now. And if you do it now, you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. From Pure Talk,
an official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you got to make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Good Friday morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Should Yuma's mayor and city council members see an increase in pay? Proposition 425 on the general election ballot aims to change that. Currently, Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols only makes $12,000 a year for his position. That number also hasn't changed for close to 30 years. Out of the 25 largest cities in Arizona, Yuma ranks near the bottom at 22nd when it comes to salaries for the mayor. Prop 425 would increase the mayor wage to $40,000 a year and council members from $3,600 to $25,000. Even if passed, the numbers would still rank below the state average. Second gentleman Douglas Emhoff, the husband of Vice President Kamala Harris, will travel to Yuma this Saturday to encourage supporters to vote early for Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz. We'll share full coverage over the weekend on his visit. And don't miss Week 9 of Friday Night Lights tonight at 10:15.
Illegal aliens pouring into our nation, bringing drugs and crime with them, threatening our safety. And all the while, Bidenomics and skyrocketing inflation are making it harder for middle-class families to make ends meet. Kamala Harris and the D.C. Democrats' dangerous agenda is costing Arizona everything. Donald Trump is fighting to fix the Democrats' mess and make America great again. But he needs backup he can trust. And Carrie Lake is Trump tough. In the Senate, Carrie Lake will stand alongside President Trump to end Kamala's open border agenda, stop the flow of illegal aliens and fentanyl into America, protect Arizona. And Carrie Lake will work to end inflation and lower the cost of living for middle-class families. Support Trump-endorsed Republican Carrie Lake for U.S. Senate. Vote early today and help make America great again.
Arizona's Bold AeroPack paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.apac.com.
Pleasant day today with sunshine. Look for a high of 79, 54 the overnight low on Friday night. 82 and sunny tomorrow, 57 tomorrow night. Sunday, sunny and 85, 58 Sunday night.
This is Representative Tim Dunn. The out-of-state Democrat machine doesn't understand Yuma County. They are focused entirely on abortion, which is already legal in the first 15 weeks. Democrats want abortion until birth and want to change the subject away from their failure to secure the border. I have heard from you loud and clear. You want a secure border, support for law enforcement, and your God-given rights protected. Please vote for conservative values that puts your family first. God bless.
Paid for by Tim Dunn for Arizona State Senate and authorized by Tim Dunn.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg here. And in studio, Mr. Russ Clark.
Somebody's got to push the buttons, man.
And we do appreciate Somebody. That. And you got the buttons all right this time?
Mostly.
Okay. Hey, that's all that matters. So, I mean, you look like you're in a good mood. The weather's cooler out there. You know, we're kind of heading in the right direction.
I'm married.
Congratulations.
Well, balanced.
Balanced is in the eye of the beholder.
Okay, I was pushing
right now. But you just said something about balance. You told me months ago you were starting to go to the gym. And
that was my trainer just left, John.
Okay.
John Horvath.
So tell me how you're doing. Are you still on pace?
1 year and still doing it. And I'm not at any goal yet. My goal is another 20 pounds. But it's never been a concern that I'm just losing weight. The concern is I'm eating enough to maintain the exercise, maintain muscle, and the weight has been coming off 1 or 2 pounds a month. You know, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but it continues work continues, and my body fat continues to decline, adding muscle, taking away fat. But it's been a year, and I'm not near my goal yet. I'm probably another year away.
So tell me, discipline wise. What made you change from old Russ Clark, fat, eat 27 donuts in a day, to, you know, I mean, all joking aside,
that's probably true.
You've spent a year doing something, and you're still not there yet.
No. Well, I had a long way to go, and it was a health scare. Honestly, a health scare when I was reading a document to be taped for an educational document. And I read it 3 or 4 times, practiced it. I had it all figured out. I said, okay, let's go. Put it on the teleprompter, turn the recorder on. And I said, oh, you gave me the wrong document. That's not it.
What?
I literally forgot the document inside of 5 minutes.
Wow.
I'd never seen it before. Now, a lot of people around me, and that was Tanya at the time, was very concerned. And we double checked it, and it was the right document. I said, well, it is. Okay. So I read it, but it was like a cold read, like I'd never read it before. I got through it just because of my experience, but then I got hydrated. I drank a lot of water and all that stuff. I went back to work, and then Tanya called everybody I knew.
And which said, watch this guy.
Which was great.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I probably didn't think so at the time when people were coming to my office looking at me like I was a lab experiment. And then I got threatened by a good friend that if I didn't go to the doctor – to the hospital and get checked out or emergency room, that I would be on a 72 psych ward hold.
Now, you realize that you are going to prove the point I think we all need to see and hear and make. So what you're saying is for years before, you didn't treat yourself as well as you need to.
Correct.
In health.
Correct.
And you had something emotionally happen to you, and now you made a change.
Correct.
Instead of tactically, you knew it 2 days beforehand.
Well, I was always going to.
Right. And so when you say that stuff, that's in our business. And, you know, it's what we had a first-time homebuyer seminar last night and had about 30 people show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that when you ask people what made them show up to hear, it's always something emotional that happened.
There's something big.
I got married. I'm engaged. There's kids. Yeah. There's another kid. We just don't have enough space. Yeah. And it's never the, hey, I tactically have a plan for the next 5 years, and here's when I'm going to buy a home.
It's nice when that does happen.
Yeah, but it's like you. There's a health scare, and oh, my gosh, now I got to do X. And that's that, hey, look, you're working a year on your waistline and your health, and you still have time to go.
And during that year, I probably had 15 doctor's appointments because, you know, I went neurologist to cardiologist, all of it just to get complete clean bill of health, which I do have. I have a complete clean bill of health. There was never any mini strokes. There was none of that stuff, which I was very fortunate. But it made me think, I don't want there to be.
Absolutely. You know,
this was a wake-up call, like, buddy, you're heading in the wrong direction.
Now, how many people do you think are unhealthy financially from credit, from mortgage, from anything else?
90%.
Okay. And if that's the 90%, what typically is the health scare to get them moving in the right direction? You know, we've talked about some of those.
I'd really like to know. You know, I think people are used to living on credit cards, debt. They don't want to look at it. People are used to, you know, things out of their control. And they let it go until the point that the recovery becomes tremendously difficult versus a small adjustment. It's like, okay, we're eating ramen noodles for a year, you know, or something.
Hey, but now we're going back to college days. Top Ramen, Hormel chili, and Tang. That was it for like 2 years.
There you go.
but when you say that, think of, you're right. Everybody is living like that to a certain extent. But you don't need to wait until there's the health scare like you've had, or,
correct,
oh my gosh, I need another bedroom, or oh my gosh, something happened.
Well,
you just make the plan.
You don't need your landlord to knock on the door and say you haven't paid, you paid your rent and you're going to get evicted in a month. You don't, you know, but literally that happens to people and they start saying, okay, we'll make changes.
But see, that's I go back to the $50,000 mistake I made when I bought my first home. So I didn't have a plan. Mm-hmm. And again, I always speak from a position of, you know, look, I've made all the mistakes everybody could make. So learn from me so you don't make them. So, you know, when I was younger, I was renting at an apartment complex here in town, rented for 3 years straight, and, you know, just kind of a dumb young guy doing the stuff. So I paid my rent on time so well that in year four, they raised the rent, and I paid my rent on time so well that in year five, they raised the rent. So I rented for 5 years and watched the rent go up.
And you look at that as something that was a failure. And that's good because that got you motivated to never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But people spend their whole lives on that, and it's not necessarily a failure, but it's not building the future could.
Well, exactly. And I was just willing to, not unlike you, and I've done it too, you know, have the extra donuts, go out to eat, have the extra whatevers. But wait a minute. If I had a plan on day one, maybe I should have bought a home on year one or year two and save all that money. And let's just look at where rents used to be versus where rents are right now. You know, if you said, hey, average 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage house that is being rented right now.
15
for some of the smaller homes, and you see them way north of that. But let's say 1,500. That's $18,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's $36,000 in 2 years.
That house originally probably sold for $18,000.
Well, so you know me. I'm a math geek, and I love numbers. So I've mentally psyched myself with this. Because if I look at the money that was spent in rent that should have been going to the mortgage payment and principal reductions, and what I could have bought a home for in year one, because I actually know I was qualified now because I'm in the business, but I waited till year five, the amount of money that the home cost more at the end of 5 years in purchase price because of appreciation, those two things cost me about $50,000 worth of cash and or net equity. I wasted $50,000 because I didn't go like you health-wise. I didn't have a scare. I didn't ask for help from a doctor or a mortgage person. I literally was just doing the things. Why did I waste $50,000? Because I didn't know what I didn't know.
But Yeah, but that's okay when people are starting off and renting before they get the understanding education.
It is, but see, that's where partly this radio show, partly the first time homebuyer seminars stuff we do, we don't have to wait to ask. We as a group need to be better helping people so they make smarter decisions.
But sometimes
decisions.
It may be a wrong time to buy a house. Let's say you're out of high school. You don't know where you're going to end up. You're applying for jobs across the nation. You don't want to say, well, good time to buy a house.
Yeah.
You know, there's time not to.
Well, and think of...
But once you get stable and you know where you want to be, maybe.
You're 1,000,000,000% right. And you still have to have a two-year job history.
Sure.
You still have to have the stable earnings. So, you know, the person who's 1 year out of high school probably doesn't have the stable earnings to go buy a home. Maybe they do. But, you know, if you say, okay, I've completed my associate's degree, I've got 2 years worth of college done, I've had 2 years worth of full-time experience while I'm doing college, maybe. Now you look at somebody who just graduated the nursing program. They've got, you know, 4 years worth of schooling and they've got their RN degree. Have they committed enough to be a nurse and could they buy a home the day after they graduate?
Probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you're 100%
right. But make sure that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Don't buy a home and then say 3 months later, okay, I'm moving to Texas because I got a great offer. That's bad.
Unless, and I agree with you, but unless you had already mapped out the plan to say, all right, I'm going to buy a home here and I'm going to live here for a year because it's my owner occupied. And in a year or two, I'm going to move somewhere else and move up the food chain and turn that into a rental.
Absolutely. That's fine.
And so when you go back and say, wait a minute, the health scare I see, and if you're a physician, I'm sure you see a lot of people who are not as healthy as they could be.
Sure.
And you can see it. Here's what I see on my side. And we've talked about this, Klarna, Afterpay, some of these split your payments into four payments, right? So we, when we get a bank statement, we are obligated to disclose any debt that is there that is not on a credit report. All of these pick-a-pay plans do not show up on your credit report. That's the whole point behind them. So I have a customer that had 24 different pick-a-pay plans. Now, when I say that, you know, you might go to one department store and you use, let's say, Klarna, and you go to a home goods store and you use Klarna. Those are two still separate accounts because they run through your bank statement as that total divided by four split out. So this person was using 24 different payment plans out of his bank statement. Think of that. How do you manage that? If you're going to, one of them was groceries, one of them was a gas station. If you're using some of these pick-a-pays to cover your gas and your groceries,
you're in the wrong spiral.
The domino is, man, one bad thing and everything fails, not unlike your health scare.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, we gotta dig back out of this because I love using debt for the right reason. But when you go to, I'm sure you as a auto repair facility could set up a pick a pay plan with any of these companies and you could probably offer it to your customers. And you might make it easier for your customers to buy tires or to do the things without having to use a credit card, which I totally agree.
There are services available. We could do that. We've not subscribed to them because they're so high in fees. I don't want to sell that product.
And I agree. So now what you just said, think of somebody who's using it 24 times for food and gas.
Yeah.
Is he using it for free?
No.
No. None of these companies do
these
it for
free. These are exorbitant. I mean, the transaction fees plus the interest fees and everything.
Now, some of them are no interest if it's paid off, but there are the fees in there. If hypothetically, you were going to manage your money well and you did it from a good management perspective, maybe you went into you and you had, you know, $1,000 of tires and you had a huge transmission job. I don't know what that cost, but let's
say it's $4,000.
Okay, so let's say $5,000, transmission and tires. Maybe I need to use some of these things because I don't want to use cash that's in the bank. And maybe I don't want to put it on my credit card because it's at 29% interest. Okay, if I can manage this, absolutely. But when you have to go to the local gas station, that's a problem when you put those on there. And that's what I'm saying is, you know, your health scare, looking at things that we need to do. Sometimes we've got to look at the bank statement and go, wow, do I have like a little financial health scare?
You know what most people's solution is when they look at the bank statement and it's not working out and they're not making the bills? They say, we need to ask for a raise. We need more money. They don't most people don't really analyze their habits to see where the money's going. They just say my income's not high enough because I know I'm living the right lifestyle.
Yeah. And it's not only that, but it's the ostrich.
Yeah, there's
it's
more
the,
of that.
It's the head in the sand and just, you know, okay, well,
if I don't look, it won't hurt me.
Yeah. No, I think it'll come together right. It'll be.
I was that way about the health even.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to go to a doctor because I didn't want him to tell me any bad news.
Look, we all do. Yeah. We really all do. So this is not, hey, I'm better. Look, I've made all the mistakes. I, you know, first home, 50 grand. Oh, by the way, you know, the day after it closed, the air conditioner went out. Did I ask for a home inspection? No. Did I get a home warranty? No. Who paid for the air conditioner the day after I closed on my first house?
Ouch.
Yeah. You know, I mean, literally, if there's a mistake you could make, I made it going through all of these.
That's how you learn.
Trust me. You know, pain is learning. Pain
yes,
is learning.
Is.
So, you know, you look at those things and you say, okay, wait a minute. How can I help other people not make these same mistakes? So one of the things that we talked about last night at length is tell me all of your fears and what you want to accomplish. And then I'm going to tell you all the things I screwed up so you guys can maybe learn from what I've done. And it's funny because one of the guys last night, he goes, man, you really screwed it up when you first started. Thanks, Captain Obvious. I appreciate that.
Well, but that's normal.
Yeah.
That's normal. And especially the kids, they think they know everything.
You're 100%
they
right.
They think, you know, dad's a dummy. I'm going to show them how to do it. And you make a few mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as we're going around the room, it's interesting that everybody there's an emotional, call it a scare. It's not really a scare, but, you know, I'm graduating college and I need to get out of mom and dad's house. There's a scare. Or, hey, I'm getting married. Okay, now you got a scare.
Well, that's a nightmare. Yeah.
You know, or, okay, we're having our third child and we're in a two-bedroom apartment. Yeah, that's a problem. And you start going down this road. Nobody in that class, nobody was there just to, hey, I want to do something more. It's I have to do something more because of this. And it's the have to that gets people into mortgages.
And some of those things are good to push us. And that's how we learn.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, look at you. You're scared. You're telling me you didn't have any strokes, any other really problems.
Nothing bad.
But that scare said, okay, I'm Russ Clark and I'm going to get healthy.
Correct. Because even though my issue was probably dehydration or something,
yeah,
it could have been something serious. And I was setting myself up, and I knew it, and I finally had to come to a realization.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I need to make a choice.
Is it easier today than it was a year ago?
Yes.
By how much? 50%? 100%?
At least. 50%? Well, it wasn't even on my radar.
That's...
You know, on that. So it was just being put off. I didn't need to. I rode the bike, so I had strong legs, and I could ride the bike. But that was
you rode an e-bike. It's got an electric assist battery. Come on,
don't let
come
that
on.
Out. Don't let that out. but it's you kid yourself that's total health.
Yeah,
because you do one thing, or I run around at work so much I don't need to go to the gym.
So you could do one push-up and say, "Wow, I worked out today."
There you go.
So, think of. And again, how scared people are to come in and talk to somebody like me.
Yeah.
And we talk about, hey, we get to see people financially naked, right? And right. I say it as a joke, but I always say that because it's a really good icebreaker.
But your advice is pain-free, except people want
and
to show
and it doesn't cost
that,
anything either.
That's what I mean. That's the pain-free.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free thing. But there's a feeling you might feel inadequate or feeling like, oh, I should have already known that. Or I already know enough, or whatever. And it's an ego thing. We all have that too. We all, but that's not what you do. You're not there to do anything but fill in the blanks on some your profession that they don't. It's like if you go to a doctor and ask a cardiologist, it's not like you feel bad. Like I should have known all about the heart.
Right.
No, you don't. There's people that can help you. Same with the finance.
Yeah. When we open the seminar, I always ask people, you know, give me scale of 1 to 100. 100 is you feel amazingly confident and you're ready to rock and roll. You know, a 1 is I'm so scared I almost didn't come to the meeting.
Yeah.
And typically everybody's answer is 10 to 25, you know, when we start.
That's honesty then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And by the time we're done, it's typically 80s and 90s.
Because you take the mystery out.
When people get it, it's amazing that you see the light bulb come on and people start smiling.
It's not as complex as you think, but no, we just don't want to look at it.
It's really not complex, but the rules to the game on the backside are the mystery. And, yeah. You know, when you go through credit, you know, when you say, okay, here's what, if you rolled all of your balances into one credit card and closed everything else, Russ, would normally maybe your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, would they say, hey, that makes perfect sense. You know, only have one bill and consolidate things. That's the advice we all used to get.
We used
but
to.
You and I know that simple, really good, heartfelt advice from our sweet grandmother back in North Dakota mm-hmm. might actually tank my credit score 50 points.
Sure.
Now, 50 points on a conventional loan. Here's a good one. I actually ran the numbers last night. Let's pretend you were going to buy a $250,000 home.
Okay.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have what's called loan level price adjustments. You might have heard an acronym called LLPAs. And that basically is nothing more than a way to take like Vegas odds and aggregate how likely you are to default on a loan and price it.
Okay.
So if I said, and I'm going to stand down for 1 second, if I said you had a 600 and below credit score, that credit score denotes what?
Problems. That you have a problem paying bills, that you're overextended or something along those lines.
That's what it is aggregating. But what that is it's literally a Vegas betting odd that a below 600 FICO is 1 out of 15 likely to default on their mortgage.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm sure.
If I told you a 720 credit score, that Vegas odd, that 720 credit score, is 1 out of 189 people likely to default on their credit score.
Those are the guys I want to loan money to.
Cool. So would you price the interest rate higher and cost higher on a 599 credit score versus a 720 credit score based on the odds of you getting your money back?
You have to.
I just explained the entire mortgage industry and why mortgage rates fluctuate based on somebody's credit score.
You have to. If you've got a 1 in 15 chance of not paying it back, then you need to collect enough from them knowing that 1 in 15 are going to have a problem and you got to have the cash.
Now, where I started that conversation, if you said that difference in credit score, if you borrowed 250 grand on a conventional loan with the LLPA adjustments based on credit scores, that 599 compared to a 720, which is only 121 points, right?
Right.
Do you know, based on the exact same day locking and getting that loan, how much extra interest you would pay over a 30-year mortgage based on that credit score difference?
I don't, but I'd guess like 1%. It's not.
Take a guess in dollars what it would cost you over 30
years. Oh, on a 250, 100 bucks a month.
Okay. It's in excess of $50,000 in interest.
Oh, for the lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that little itty-bitty move in a credit score might cost somebody 50 grand on a $250,000 home, most homes are about.
I was close. 100 bucks a month comes about 40,000.
Yeah.
Over a life, over 30 years.
Well, 100 times 360 months is actually 36,000, but I like it. You gave it college try.
Well, I forgot you knew numbers.
But, you know, now go down this road. Here's what frustrates me about the way this industry works, and it is emotional, but people emotionally go find a home, they get super into it, and the last thing most people do is come see a mortgage guy like me.
Right.
And then they go, hey, we want to buy this home, we need to close in 30 days, let's go. You're not really giving me any time to move your credit score. But I've already told you years before, my record is moving somebody's credit score 133 points. So I just could save that person.
133 points in how much time?
37 days.
That's crazy.
So we're going to take a crazy break. We'll talk about this more after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, good morning. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. And see, karma. Russ, you talked about you're just the guy pushing the buttons.
Make mistakes occasionally.
You know what?
But I do.
Look, hey, we get to make mistakes. Yeah. We have the good fortune of living in the United States at the greatest time in history in the greatest country.
Really?
And we get to make mistakes and then fix them.
I'm going to ask you about the greatest time in history.
Okay.
We've got issues galore out there that we're upset with.
Oh, yes, we do.
High inflation. We got crime. We got open borders. We got drug problems. We got overdoses of 100,000.
Yeah.
Well, you say the greatest time in history.
Because we have the choice.
Yeah.
We can fix it.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't hear enough of that optimism.
Well, if you say we have all these problems, I do believe there's been other problems that sometimes don't get the light of day. And look, I don't relish any of that stuff. Seeing the apartment complexes getting infiltrated with gangs in Aurora, Colorado. Seeing most of my friends and colleagues around the nation don't believe what's happening at the borders. You know, and so
I don't believe gravity.
It's the oddest thing that, you know, when you go take pictures of, you know, the tents and the planes and the buses,
they don't believe it. That
they then go, wow, you guys really are flying planes and buses out of Yuma and you really do have a huge facility.
It's more massive than you can imagine.
Yeah. And that's what I've explained to them is, look, here's the problem. And the ostriches, a lot of people want to put their heads in the sand. But when I go back to the optimistic, look, we have the ability to make changes because we have choices. And we still live. I mean, for crying out loud, I've got a phone here that's a supercomputer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have to. I'm frustrated because I made a few changes and my contacts don't show names right now. I got to go back and figure out what I just did. So, you know, my supercomputer that I would just, you know, click the button, hey, call Russ Clark Mobile, and then it goes. I don't remember that number because I don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
I've got a supercomputer that I can find anything. It'll give me directions. That's amazing compared to 60 years ago. Look at the
crazy
vehicles. What were the vehicles back in, say, 1960? They might have been a little bit more.
We love now the collectibles. We're going to Midnight to Aces. We're going to be celebrating the 1960s the vehicles. And they are great. But when people come up and say, boy, I wish they don't build them like they used to, I say, thank God.
Yeah. You know, they're amazing around town. But do you really want to drive from here to, say, New York City in an old car with the old air conditioning and the old drivetrain? No.
And it was commonplace to put a new ring set in an engine after 10,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It was commonplace that these things had 60,000 miles. They were ready to go for the junkyard.
So I don't really have an issue driving and finding a gas station anywhere I go. I believe my car is going to start when I get in it and I can drive literally anywhere. I've got a supercomputer. I have the ability to influence people around me to move things in the right direction, according to me. And again, it's just an opinion. You have your opinion. Mm-hmm. I have mine. But we do live in the greatest time in history, in my opinion, because look at the access to information, capital. Can anybody work through a process and build their credit and their job history to buy a home?
Yes.
We're not serfs. We don't lease land and have to pay all of our taxes. Now, we do pay a lot of taxes.
Here's something we don't have today enough of. Information and proper information to put us in the best positioning for jobs and future. And we don't have enough of that. And I don't know that our schools are doing the right things. I don't know that this high information is being used properly. It's TikTok versus, education.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things in there we're not getting. But it's also readily available. Anybody that has, you know, some tutoring to say, here's what you should be paying attention to and doing, can be a super star with a supercomputer.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can take that supercomputer of a cell phone and become a TikTok addicted, Instagram addicted, gossip hound that it expects the government to give me everything I need.
Yeah. So it's choice.
It is a choice. But it is the greatest time that information is available. It's the greatest time that everything is available. We don't have enough mentors and tutoring to push people into the direction of using it for productiveness. If anything, we talk about, well, we should go to the 30-hour week. We shouldn't have to do homework after school. We should give everybody a trophy. And it's killing that driving. It's killing that spirit. And it's killing, you said, we talked about you making $50,000 in mistakes of all that before you learn. We don't let kids get bruised anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to get a bruise. They're never going to get that revelation that, wow, I don't want to get bruised anymore. I better take this on. We don't let them fail because they got a trophy for ninth place. But even though they have a supercomputer and they have the entire encyclopedia of the world in their hand, they go to TikTok and see a funny cat thing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
By the way, how is your cat?
That's great. I think it's there if we get enough old people like you to mentor, to help, to educate, to give some insights and let your kid fail.
And I agree with you. I think there's tons of younger people that are still doing it right and have an entrepreneurial spirit.
Sure.
But you're not wrong that I remember when, and here we're going to sound old, when you went to school, you went to the economics class and you practiced buying stocks and you read, the stock ticker symbols out of the Wall Street Journal and you learned to balance a checkbook and you actually did some financial stuff. Or there were job fairs and there were things to teach you how to get educated. And what's funny is, again, go back to the first time homebuyer seminar, I read a lot of books.
Yeah.
And in my library, I've probably got, 100 on the shelf there. Just these are the ones I like the most. And one of the guys goes, have you read all those books? And I wanted to be sarcastic. I go, nope, they're just shelf trophies.
Don't they look great?
But, yes. And I said, yeah, I actually have because I like to educate myself and I like to learn more because for $20, I'm going to read this person's massive amount of information. And I don't have to go through pain or an experience. I can literally just pay $20 for a book. And in a week, I've got that knowledge that it took that person a decade, a lifetime to learn. Everything we need is out there, whether it's online on a PDF, electronically, a class, a book. But it's just the ability, like you say, am I going to commit 20 hours to social media or am I going to commit an hour a day to reading a book?
I had a college professor say that, everybody can pass college, everybody can get a grade. It's not a problem. But the guy that's going to make it out in the business world is the one that does the extra, the one that studies the things that the class gave him some insight in, but was curious and moved on to it, does the extra credit, does the things, comes to class with the answers versus asking what they are.
Yeah. The 40-hour work week has set us up to fail.
Well, they want to make it 35. Won't that help?
The 40 hours is... that's the first part. That's enough just to get you to pay your bills. The second 40 hours is really what's going to make a difference in the trajectory.
Are you playing TikTok that other 40, or are you trying to become better educated, more aware, involved in your community, charities, and stuff like that?
And there's apps out there that will actually log your screen time.
Well, I do know, and there's apps that you can control your kids' phones on how much screen time they spend on on different things. And I only know one guy that really uses it really, every day. He knows how many hours his kids.
And truthfully, let's talk about the adults. Because, even in our office environment, you see lots of times people are looking down at their phone and doing stuff. The amount of screen time that we waste during a working day is tremendous. And then when you say, well, wait a minute, most people, and this is judgy, but it's not meant to be. Most people think, okay, clock in, clock out. Now I've earned my wages and I'm going to go home. But I'm supposed to be able to get ahead and become affluent. No, that's the basic to get in. Russ, with your company, do you work 40 hours a week?
No.
Okay, more or less?
Less.
Okay.
And because right now I'm in a different place.
I was going to say, but why? Because you own and you've set that up. But when you first got into business,
60, 70 hours.
Right.
Well, when I first bought Napa here,
uh-huh.
It was 7 days a week. And when I got home, I just would use the computers in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be home, but I'd still be doing orders and still be doing stuff.
And I go back to, it's funny because some people, the older people that come to the first-time homebuyer classes. A lot of people will recognize me from an old restaurant day that I haven't worked restaurants for 24 years, 25 years. But I did that from high school for a long time. And I tell everybody, look, when I transitioned through college from restaurants into the business world, I worked full-time in the restaurants, and I worked full-time in the financial industry, and I was doing 90 to 95 hours a week for 4 years straight.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's.
I didn't need a trophy. I didn't want a plaque. That's just what I wanted to do to make sure we got...
I was the same, and after college, when I had just a full-time job, I thought, this is like a vacation.
Right.
I only had one job.
Right.
I didn't have to do books all night, although we did. I did extra. But even today, I'm 67. I get up by 3 every morning. I'm in studio by 4. I mean, I put in 6 hours here before I go to work, and then I go to work. And granted, it's part-time at best, but then there's volunteerism, and there's, you know, I'm on the Republican Party, or I'm putting up signs. I was checking signs for Trump this morning at 3 o'clock.
Flashlight?
No, it was street signs. I mean, street lights are out there. You can see them. But at 3 o'clock, I was double-checking some signs and tightening them up and stuff like that. But that's just normal. I mean, it's not work. It's just normal.
Going back to when I say I think we live in the greatest time in history, we have choices. And you can read a book. You can get educated. You can learn budgeting. You can sit down in a class with me with no judgment. Let's teach you budgeting. Let's teach you, you know, maybe it's a year like your health. It's going to take a year to fix your credit and rearrange the budget and then get you into a home. Great. Then, you know, maybe it's, hey, I'm going to take an online course and go for X because I'm going to follow my dream to go do Y, whatever that is. Okay, I'm going to work 40, 50, 60 hours here to make sure I sustain myself, and I'm going to go do that on top. Not, I had somebody come in and say, hey, I want to do a cash out refinance on my home. I'm going to pull out $100,000 extra because I'm going to quit my job afterwards, and I'm going to use that money to go to school for 2 years and hopefully cover my bills and, right? Now, taking $100,000 out of a home, you know, again, people do things all that, but I don't think she was looking at the numbers. House payment, credit cards, electric, food. What do you think the typical budget for most people would be monthly? Just in
for the house payment and everything?
House, car, credit cards. Oh, come on. Get serious.
Seriously? That's more than that?
Oh, way more.
$4,000.
You and I just talked about most people's rent minimum is $1,500. So let's pretend the house payment's $2,500 a month.
I'm out of touch because I don't make car payments. I don't know.
You are out of touch. We've all said that for about a decade.
Yeah.
But let's say
$5,000.
Yeah.
A month.
That's a reasonable number for most people when you look at living, not just debt, but I'm talking a house payment, a car payment, credit card payments, electric, gas, water, food.
So you're talking $60,000 a year.
Okay. Now, she just said she's going to take 2 years off and she's going to use the money to pay her bills and go to school.
It may be enough if she's at the $5,000
a month. No, but she was going to use that money to
school.
She's got to pay for school. She's got to pay for books.
She ain't going
to make it. No, it's going to take at least $150,000 to $175,000 because of her current debt structure and the new loan taken out of the house.
A lot of college students live in their car. She needs to do that.
But that's the realization that sometimes people don't realize how out of touch they are with the numbers. That when I actually kind of went, I don't know that actually is going to be enough to cover it. I think you need like $150, $175. And I don't see that you actually have that in your home.
She was shocked when you showed her the numbers.
Oh, I think she kind of turned ashy white. And, yeah, and it's like,
I had no idea.
I think you're still going to be working while you're going to school. And she goes, I don't want to work while I'm going to school. No, I really think you're going to be working while you're going to school.
I worked when I went to school, except for the last year. And the last year, I took 2 years of school. I was doing two jobs, but I was taking my junior and junior and senior year at the same time.
Yeah.
And instead of working one school and work, I wanted to get out.
Which is no problem.
No, it wasn't.
But go back to what we were talking about. Choice.
It's choice.
You had the choice, and we still have the choice. My boys have the choice of what to go to school for, what they want to do. You know, one wants to be a auto mechanic and get into hopefully opening his own shop and doing some really cool things.
Oh,
and, you know,
Well, have them come apprentice with me, man. Okay. Just have them come over.
You know, other one really wants to get into cybersecurity and you know, super egghead smart with that. You know, polar opposites. But if one opens up his own shop, you know, he really wants to get into performance tuning and building things.
Everybody does.
And he's got a passion for it. Cool. Start that business. Hey, you know, other son, you want to get into cybersecurity and do this spoofing thing in the backside and do two totally different paths, but they have the choice. And if that's what makes them happy to get there, we have a choice.
And you don't know where it's going to branch.
Nope.
Entrepreneurism is entrepreneurism.
When I was in restaurants, I firmly felt, and I actually made a play for it, but I firmly felt I was going to buy the restaurant, grow a restaurant empire, and look where life put me. For the last 25 years, I've been doing home loans and residential mortgages and talking about credit.
It's all service.
It is. And at the same time, it's you just never know. So, you know, with that and choices, Russ is telling me we have the choice to take a break, but it's not really a choice. So this is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
I served 4.5 years. I had just come home from serving over in Germany. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. And I was paralyzed. It was a pretty low point. PBA was there the first day. I've fallen a few times, and PBA is like, get up. We just keep getting up.
To learn more, go to PBA.org today.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
Good morning, Yuma. You know, you could have just played that song for the next 15 minutes. I'm just as okay with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was thinking about it real seriously. I'd rather listen to that than you.
I would too, honestly, most of the time. But you and I, here's the thing. That's the choice. We have the choice of what to play on air. We can play some awful music, or we can say something that actually has a meaning behind it.
And
right?
I'm fortunate to have that choice. I mean, in the country, but in the business you work for, because the business does have control if they want to take it.
Sure.
I'm just very fortunate they let me do.
Hey, I thought
what
this
I
was my show.
Possible.
I thought I got to control it. No.
Well, yeah, but you gave that to me. You let me play anything I want.
That's true. As long as you hit the right button this time, right out loud. So you know, you go back to here's the take. I know we joke and we laugh about some of this stuff, but I promise you, I've made way more mistakes than most people when it comes to this.
Part of human condition, man.
I know. Over a 20 or 30 year run, people can become wealthy. And when I say wealthy, I'm not talking, you know, Elon Musk wealth. I'm just saying, but I'm just saying here in little old Yuma, Arizona, if you bought a home today, and let's just pretend 10 years from now, which is way longer than most people, 10 years you bought another home and turned the first one into a rental. Mm-hmm. Another 10 years from now, you bought a new home and turned the first one into a rental. Let's just pretend you only bought 3 homes in your lifetime, which again is super low in terms of people moving. What's the average home worth in, let's say, 30 years?
Oh, million?
It's got to, I mean, let's just pretend it's worth 300, just to use a stupid number.
It's worth that today.
I know. That's why I'm saying just to use a stupid number. 369, that's $900,000 worth of real estate. You and I know it'll be worth more. But in 30 to 40 years, when the first one and then the second one is paid off, you just gave yourself $1 million net worth, and you really didn't have to do much other than live.
Right.
And that's the path that I wish, whether it's schools, whether it's mentors.
No, not just live. Live with discipline.
And it's okay not to.
It doesn't take a lot of discipline.
No. How much discipline is it taking for you to go to the gym and do your things now for this year? The first week, it was probably really awful.
Well, yeah. There's the motivation changes and the desires change over time. Mm-hmm. And I found that if you're doing it as I'm doing it right and everything, I can't wait to get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does take discipline to go.
But it did the first few times. What time do you go to the gym?
Today it'll be 1 o'clock, but
okay.
Sometimes it's a little different, but I look forward to it. I'll call him and say, can I come in early or something, you know? And I get there early and I'll do half hour work before I get going, you know, cardio or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it became something I love doing, and I never thought that would happen.
And it's just a habit.
Yeah.
It's a routine. It's no different than, you know, my routine, you know, let's say weekend. Wake up, walk out the kitchen, put a pot of coffee or a Keurig on, and when my dog hears the Keurig start, she comes running around the corner.
So I
have to go walk into the laundry room, feed her, give her bone. By then, the coffee cup is done, and she won't eat the bone until I get my coffee cup and we go sit down in the office and I open up my screen to start running through the news to see what's happened. Then she'll sit right there and start eating the bone. It's just a habit. She won't eat the bone unless I'm sitting in that chair. She is just that conditioned dog.
Wow.
But I'm that conditioned dog. I do the same thing every day. You do the same thing every day.
We do, all of us.
And I'm going to go back to the budgeting, like the guy with 24 different, you know, Klarna and Afterpays. He's just built the habit that when he sees the opportunity, oh, yeah, split it up in four. Go ahead. It's just his habit. Like, no, time out. Stop. You got to do that. And get rid of that and go back to paying cash, because you really don't understand how much you're spending right now, because you're only seeing 25% of it come out of your bank statement. And at some point, it's either going to catch up to you or you're going to have to do some kind of a debt consolidation loan, because you're now on that precipice of complete and utter failure. And oh, by the way, with all of these 24 payments, you don't actually qualify for a house just yet because you don't have the bandwidth to do it. Now, yes, there's ways around that. Yes, there's all kinds of goofy loan programs that you can do. But there's only really three things that any borrower really wants, right? What's my cash to close? Is it a lot or a little? And most people are asking for what? As little as possible.
Of course.
What's my payment? Is it a lot or a little?
That's a big one.
Now, cash to close and payment probably are mutually exclusive. It's like that balancing scale. If I put a lot of money down, my payment's going to be lower, right? And if I put no money down, my payment's going to be higher because I'm financing more. But then the other thing that nobody asks about is safety. What's the safety with this loan product? Go online and look at all these ding-dong lenders that are advertising adjustable rate mortgages, and those have become the new big thing again.
I wouldn't have thought of that because I would never have done adjustable. Well,
but when you start seeing a lot of these online advertisements that are really stupid, cheap loan, you actually dig through and they say 30-year loan.
What would they do?
They didn't say 30-year fixed. They said 30-year loan.
Oh. What would they do on an adjustable now? Would they start an adjustable out lower than the current rate?
Typically, adjustables are always somewhere between 0.25% and 0.5% lower in an interest rate. So people get sucked in because this is not where the market is, but let's say the market was at 6% today on a 30-year fixed. That adjustable might be in the 5.5 range, and people go, oh my gosh, look, I can save that much on my mortgage payment. Absolutely, because the mortgage lender is firmly convinced that in the next year, we're going to refinance out of it when rates come back down. Nobody can promise you that.
No.
And if you took the 30-year fixed, and if interest rates came down, you'd refinance anyway.
Of course, that costs a fee. There's a fee involved with it.
But they just told me that the mortgage person they were talking to was going to help them refinance out of the adjustable if rates came down.
Well, that'd be a fee, too.
They were already predisposed to paying the extra fee.
But if the rate comes down, the adjustable goes down. But then there's always a risk going back up.
Well, sometimes. Not all the time do they come down at the same time. But
well,
look,
well, yeah, because they only adjust once a year, once every 5 years, whatever the contract.
You take adjustable rate mortgages when interest rates are at their high watermark,
right,
because you believe they're coming down. So if interest rates, let's say,
hit eight.
Well, I mean, nearly a year ago, it was almost eight. We're talking about that. If interest rates are at eight, yes, adjustables are going to make some sense because you can see the technical signals of we're going to come down. Okay, great. But we had people asking about adjustable rate mortgages when they were in the threes. Why? Because they're going to go up.
Yeah.
And that's that safety security. So we talked about cash to close, monthly payment, but there's a safety security component. And really, you got to make sure that you're talking all three of those. But most people, they're scared about the payment because they really have never done a budget. They're scared about the cash to close because they've really never actually figured out how much money extra they have over and above the very basic, hey, here's my survival number. And those two things really shouldn't be emotional. It's tactical. I don't care, Russ, if you spend an extra grand on stupid stuff. But if you spend a grand on stupid stuff, we do have to make sure that that stupid stuff isn't going to bankrupt you next week.
Right.
I don't care what the stupid stuff is. Look, I spend money on stupid stuff that I know you wouldn't.
Right.
And you spend stupid stuff on things that I wouldn't.
Most people wouldn't. Yeah.
But it's still a choice.
Absolutely.
And back to, here's what I appreciate about all of this. Look, it's voting season. We get to vote for the people that we believe are going to help us make the greatest difference. We get to support the military men and women, both current and in the past, that have allowed us to have these choices. Look at the people, millions of people who have died for this country to gave their life up for our choices and our way of life. Do we live the way that we should to honor that? You know, and again, hats off to most of the businesses in town that fly a flag and actually represent. And most of the, you know, I drive to other cities and I do a lot of traveling. You see a lot of places that the flags are just torn up, or you see an empty pole. How many really empty flag poles do you see here in Yuma?
I don't notice them. There's one right out in front of the building.
Is there?
Well, right here. I put it up years ago.
Could you fix that?
I can if they'd let me.
They won't let you climb the ladder or what?
Well.
Scared you're going to fall off, have another one of your episodes?
I used to fix. I fixed a couple times. Because they'll accidentally pull the cord out. And you got to get back up there. Mm. And this one, you're going to need I get a lift truck and I get up there and put it on. I say, don't do it again. They do it again. And, you know, whatever.
Just get it fixed, would you?
I will.
But again, choices.
But it's rare. We don't see a lot. People are putting them up.
The choice is, hey, look, I'm super excited that I still get the choice to live the way I want, be on the radio, do the business, teach my kids. You know, again, my kids are not necessarily getting indoctrinated. You know, there are tons of stuff out there that I just don't agree with. But, you know, we get to talk to them about voting. We get to talk to them about finances. We get to talk to them about education, and they get to make their choices. But all of that comes down to a group of men and women, both current and past, that said, hey, I'm going to step up. And yes, it's a job, but I'm sorry, for most of us who are civilians, we've never been shot at for 30 grand a year.
No.
And Russ, do you want to take a bullet for 30 grand a year?
No.
Okay. And that's probably a very crass way to put it. But
I'll let Donald Trump do that for me.
You know, you see these E3s, you know, very, very green enlisted person is an E3 who's maybe making 30 grand a year, and they're willing to put their life on the line. That's what signing that contract is. You know, again, if there's things that you have questions on, you need help on, don't hesitate to call, because I would rather sit down with those men and women for hours and teach and explain. But other than that, have a safe and fantastic weekend, everybody. Get out there and enjoy the weather. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.